Good morning, everyone. Very warm welcome to Rockingham Road Baptist Church this morning. It's lovely to see you all. Special welcome if you're visiting. Really hope you feel at home and welcome as we worship God together. And on your behalf, can I welcome a great friend of mine. While Spain is enjoying Mass with Pope Francis, we have Reverend Francis here. And people have come from far and wide, even over the border from Leicestershire, to join us as Francis is here this morning. So, yes, a special welcome to some of my other friends from Market Harbour Baptist Church, some of whom you will be seeing again later this summer, because this summer is sort of a Nick's friends preaching schedule, and I'm really grateful for them filling our pulpit for us this month. Anyway, notices. Don't have it. Fire, just, you know, in the event of fire, run that way or that way, depending on where the available exit is. Drinks and refreshments in the hall afterwards. We'd love you to stay and join us. And Roy at the back does like to publicise our church on social media. We tend not to take photos in that corner, partly because that's where we expect the children to be. But if you don't want your face to appear on our social media feeds, then do let Roy or myself know, and we will make sure that you are expunged from the advertising. And thank you to Margaret for producing the prayer and notice sheet. There should be copies at the back. We might have run out of notice sheets, so we'll get some more done for coffee. But if you've not picked yours up yet, then please collect those for this month. Okay, so without further ado, I will hand over to Francis.
Thank you for that warm welcome. I feel very honoured as a Methodist minister now being asked to preach in a Baptist. And if I'm a bit rusty and a bit nervous, I've had 3 months off. As you'll hear later on, I've been on a sabbatical and I've just had 3 Sundays back in a Methodist circuit in Cheshire saying goodbye. Every Sunday was a bye-bye and a little present and another afternoon tea or something like that. So I'm not used to preaching. I've had 3 months off, so bear with me. And I was very grateful that it's the feeding of the 5,000. I possibly could do that in my sleep, but never mind. We'll enjoy the... You'll be asleep by it, I think, yes. And I'm not used to using roots, so really it's a bit of an experiment for me this morning here, and it's a delight. And we've travelled from Spalding. We've just revisited old haunts where I was in circuit ministry there. So I call to worship. We like plentiful resources, careful planning, guarantees that everything will be all right. God asks us what we already have, invites us to give thanks and trustfully to share of ourselves, and the abundance when we do is overwhelming. So with the feeding of the 5,000, we're aware that the 5 loaves, 2 fishes was enough, more than enough. We're also aware, as we think about that story in the Bible, that perhaps other people didn't share or other people could have shared. And we think of our world today where people can be greedy and hoard and store and have too much without sharing. And so we pray. Gracious God, we can often feel very ordinary and inadequate, worrying that we are not good enough or have not enough, or that whatever we've got isn't going to help somebody else. But we pray, teach us in these moments to treasure ourselves as your creation and know that your hospitable love can flow through us to others. So challenge us this morning in the way that we can be your life and your love and your joy and your generosity to others with whatever we have. Help us to have open hands and open hearts towards others. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so our first hymn from Mission Praise is, and on the screen, if you prefer books, it's number 31, Amazing Grace. Well, you are good singers here. I always thought the Methodists were best, but I think you're even better than they are. And maybe it's because I've been used to being in small Methodist chapels where we've been under the 12 in Methodism. The magical 12 is the sense of the chapel is a little bit iffy on opening and closing. So it's lovely to have a bigger congregation, and it's lovely to be able to sing God's praises. A Bible reading now from Isaiah. I forgot to ask who the reader might be this morning, but there's a reading from Isaiah that reminds us about food and drink that cost nothing.
Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 5. Invitation to the thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Amen.
Once upon a time, I couldn't make sense of that Bible passage, because you know that you have to spend money to get food, and you have to go to the grocery shop and you have to have some money. And in that passage it says you don't need any money, you don't need to buy anything, because grace is free. But the invitation is come to Jesus. It's an Old Testament passage, I know, but the invitation is come to the person that can satisfy, come to the person that can give you contentment, come to the person who can fill you to overflowing. Reminds me of the Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. So in one word, that passage is about free salvation. Well, it isn't quite free, is it? Because Jesus had to die for us to give us that salvation, but we don't need any money. The invitation for salvation through Jesus is open and inclusive to everyone. Now we come to a time of prayer and of confession and forgiveness. So let us pray, come to prayer again, and beyond that we'll have the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. So, Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you this morning knowing that we fail miserably in the way that we put our own needs first. And perhaps burdened with our own griefs and problems, we withdraw into ourselves, and then we fail to notice that others around us are carrying burdens. Or even if we hear other people struggling with their own problems or their issues, we fail to respond to them, even if we do hear that other people are struggling. But Lord, when we read and when we listen to your story and when we see how you walked about the roads and the valleys and the byways and the highways in Galilee and Israel, you were open to everybody else's needs. Nobody was an interruption. Nobody got in your way. You responded to them, even if you in your own self had needs. When you walked among us in Galilee, you knew grief for your cousin John and perhaps fear for your own safety, but still you welcomed the crowd who followed you, healing the sick and meeting their needs of body and soul. You set an example to your disciples, but they would have sent the people away. So forgive us again if we don't listen, if we reject other people. We're too self-centred or self-occupied. Many people are around us. We all live in communities. We all have neighbours. Help us to be good listeners and good supporters of other people in any way that we can. We thank you that with the story of the feeding of the 5,000, we see those human men, those disciples, walking amongst the crowd, helping Jesus distribute that small picnic. We thank you for that miracle, the impossible coming from the ordinary products of bread and fish. And we want to thank you today for your example of self-sacrificing compassion. And we commit ourselves to greater hospitality of spirit that shows itself with love in action, that shows itself in practical care and practical serving. So forgive us if we neglect others, but also forgive us if we neglect ourselves, because you do ask us to look after ourselves as well. But deep down, forgive us if we neglect our relationship with you. Neglect that our very salvation comes from you. That by following you, we are given the joys of the kingdom. So, Father God, in this prayer now, a moment or two of quietness, as we realize through our past week that we often forget about you, we forget to be practical Christians. Or we are so devoted in our prayer and Bible study that we forget the needs of the people around us. Help us to look back on our week now and ask that you will forgive us. And then with that assurance of forgiveness, the psalmist says, "The Lord upholds all who are falling, raises up all who are bowed down." So, Father, we thank you for your saving grace. The psalmist says, "The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings." So, Father, we thank you for your assurance of forgiveness when we have fallen down in our sin, when we have failed to be open to others, when we have neglected to show hospitality. Thank you for never failing to be a generous host to us, forgiving and nurturing us always. Amen. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I've chosen a hymn of thankfulness now, which is "Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart." Let's stand and sing this one.
Thank you.
that's on.
We're going to have a look at a little slideshow now, and at the end of it, I would be asking you how you looked at... Not how you looked. What happened yesterday in your life? What was your day like yesterday? We've only just started our today. I'm going to share with you some days that David and I experienced on our 3 month sabbatical. It isn't a missionary type morning, but it is actually sharing you with you something of the experiences of what we encountered in 3 months of journeys that included a silent retreat at first slide. Sorry, if it's me, it's me, and if it isn't, it's, you hold that one. So the first. That was my bedroom window at St Bino's, which is in North Wales, and the day was four days of looking out into a glorious view into their garden. I could sit there. I was told not to even open the Bible by my desk, but to just stare out the window, enjoy, meditate the view. Well, somebody gives me permission to just stop, sit and stare. I did, seven floors up, and it was in the attic room of St Bino's near St Asaph's, near Prestatyn, just 40 minutes where we used to live. So that's the first one. So the evening or some of the day, you can see the sun was shining and you can see the extension of the view out there. So I drew out into the view, but I also had the view calm me down and give me some peace. And the next slide, please. Bluebells. All right, I know I shouldn't have picked them, but unless I could. There were woods full of bluebells. It was bluebell season. And there was an amazing sense of beauty and colour and, oh, just wonderful. How do I express an experience? And there were some dead flowers within the seven floors of the place where I could explore. And I said to the spiritual director, who I saw an hour every day, I don't like dead flowers around. So she said, go and pick some bluebells. I said, what? You're not allowed to. Yes, she said, you are. It's private ground. So I replaced all the dead flowers from the vases. I came in with bunches of bluebells. And I said, can I take some home? Yes, she said. So there's my home. Well, it's on a table. A beautiful bunch of bluebells. But a bit deeper than that, those bluebells took me somewhere. I walked through the woods. And I used to walk through the woods with my dad. Oh my goodness, I'm getting emotional. Oh my dad. Walked through the woods as a child, Oxford, Woodlands, southeast, south of the North Downs. I'd be picking bluebells and he'd be cutting the hazel branches down for bean sticks. I had a moment of a good childhood experience, but more than that, it connected with me with my Heavenly Father. I don't know how you connect and how God connects you through situations or people, but for me, if I can connect to my dad, I connect to my Heavenly Father. So it was a real thrill and a real joy to be amongst bluebell woods. My experience on that day. Now we'll have the next one, and I'm going to have to do that. I just realised that. Thank you. Sorry about that. Oh, yeah, this is David. We went to do some trains as well.
We had 10 days in Ireland. I hope there's any train enthusiasts here, but we did manage to visit the Listowel Monorail Railway Museum on the west coast of Ireland. It was as you see from the picture, it's not like your ordinary railway line. It was something which was developed by a Frenchman so he could run trains across the desert in Algiers, and the Irish thought they'd have a go at it. And it runs from Listowel up the coast, up across country to Ballybunion, or it did do. It's a fantastic thing, as you see. The engine is nothing like we know as an engine, and the carriages have this... this tripod thing running through the middle of the carriages. So if six people arrive on the platform for the next train to Ballybunion, three people have to sit on one side, and then the station master has to get you to climb over a ladder down the other side so the carriages are equal.
So why was this a special day? We're talking about special days. Why was this uniquely special? Not because of the trains. There was something else going on as well, that God was in our timing that day. We sensed that. I did anyway. What had happened the night...
It would always be in our hearts because we had a slight problem with our camper van roof before we arrived here, but the engine driver and the engineer managed to repair our roof in their workshop, so...
So God's timing that day. So we've got to get a God bit in, not the pleasure of the hobby of the railway, but the sense that it was right day and right timing. The next bit might be... That's just a view. Sorry, I don't need that. We used to tell we aren't doing things properly. It's a bit unrehearsed. We haven't rehearsed this. The camper van meant that part of my experience of sabbatical through the days were times when we parked the camper van. We got our deck chairs out, we sat with our picnic table, and on that day we saw this view. No shops, no people, just saw the view. I don't even know which part of Ireland it was, but I mean the sense that there was hills and there's lakes and there's greenery and the sense of peacefulness and the sense of opportunity to be part of the days were not to be so busy seeing all the sights of Cork or Galway or...
This is travelling up the west coast. It's part of Connemara.
Beautiful,
absolutely
beautiful.
Part of the countryside.
We'll have the next one. Part of also the expectation that I had written and was approved by the Methodists on that sabbatical was to attend different forms of worship on Sundays or whenever. So there was a place called Kylemore Abbey, again, a Catholic Jesuit spirituality place, and we went to a monastic service where we were served by nuns, and what we found strange was that you stand up for the prayers and you sit down for everything else. So weird. So a pattern of worship was slightly different, but their worship and their love of Jesus was amazing. And that day was visiting the abbey, which was a big stately home, and we spent the whole day there. There was a walled garden, and we just enjoyed looking at the flowers and the herbs. How do I explain a wonderful experience of just being amongst God's creation? I have to look what the next one is. Oh, and the next one. Ah, now come on, tell me. I don't need to ask. Where did this one take me? Come on, this is the most obvious slide. Where did this one take me? Where? Thank you, yes? Absolutely. So there we were. I think they were our footprints. I don't know, but it just carried me towards God, Jesus, to be carried. And although there are other footprints there, you can see how bleak it was of other people. So that was a special... part of that day, certainly not giving you 3 months and this day and that day, but odd moments I've just chosen that spoke volumes of my understanding of God, and God was speaking to me through the sign and symbol of footprints.
We're travelling across, we went round down across the south coast of Ireland, up the west coast, and across back to Dublin. This is a picture taken at Monasterbier, which is on the east coast. Southern Ireland is famous for its ancient religious sites. One of the things that you see on near these old churches and chapels are the stone crosses, the Celtic crosses. And if you look at the photograph, they're highly decorated. And the one nearest the photograph is pictures or stories from the Bible. They didn't have the stained glass windows like you've got up there. It was the crosses were decorated in stories. If you look closely, there's Noah there. There's the escape from Egypt, and there's the New Testament stories on chiselled into the cross. The tower at the back is something also that's very unique to the Irish chapels. They were called safety towers, and the door was positioned about 12 foot up in the air, so if your neighbouring tribe was about to attack you, you could get up in the tower, pull your ladder up, and hopefully you were pretty safe.
And you usually say, because this has rehearsal, we've done it at a couple of churches on our leaving, be thou my strong tower, or be thou my vision. And
be thou my vision, yes.
And there's a strong tower.
The Irish hymn we sing, be thou my strong tower. And I always wonder if that is where that comes from. Yes. We've recently moved, well, last Monday we moved from Cheshire down to Leicester. And Cheshire is famous for its salt works, its river weaver, and the Trent and Mersey Canal. And the canal and the river are connected by the Anderton boat lift, which we tried, we did. One of the last things we did before, on the sabbatical, was to have a ride going up in the lift.
I don't need that. Somebody had given us some gift vouchers of the Anderton last year, and the Anderton had broken down, so we were waiting for that day, that moment, that opportunity, which was near the end of our leaving Cheshire, to have a go on the Anderton boat lift. So that happened. And then I think we have a I don't know how many more slides. Here's another one. I also had opportunity to go up to Durham, Holy Island, on my own with a friend from Cheshire. And, of course, here we are. Come on, tell me what this one is called. Yeah, I know. But it was actually underneath it, the photograph. And on that day, we all went, oh, it's the Angel of the North, as if we'd never seen it before. So we went a little bit tourist, I did, on that occasion. And so so what did that remind me of? An angel, like angels, collect angels. So there was something special, and the angels in the Bible, stories about angels. We'll have our next slide. This is how we were in our camper van.
The last trip, camper van trip down to South Devon. This is the campsite near...
North Devon.
We just spent two nights there near Linton.
But we did spend many a day. This took us all round Ireland. So in a sense, we appreciated our sanctuary. That is our holy space. That was ours. it did well. The only disaster on one day coming back, which was north of Shrewsbury, we had the most enormous blowout tyre. But on that day, we're talking that day, we were safe because we were off a motorway and it was by a grass verge. So it wasn't all rosy the whole 3 months, was it? We had a roof fail, we had a blowout, but actually you can hear that there was a mixture through it all that we felt that God was with us. And the finale, oh, my last Sunday off, where did we go and what did we see on our last day?
Anyone
guess what this is? Yes, somebody, yes. Can you recognise where in this country it is?
Probably quite not, because it's just off.
Ribblehead, we went up with our van, we stayed at Ribblehead, and we saw the Flying Scots, and we spent 2 days waiting for it, and then it whizzed past in 5 minutes. So, but the photographers were there, and if you look on the web, we're on a drone was over, and on that, I think we are on one of the DVDs, so, but you won't recognise us, but we were very close. So we had an exciting time through our experience. I might need this. Now, we've shared...
Finish with me.
Have I finished with you? No, my darling, I love you so much. But I might have done. You can go and... Does anybody want to share a particular thing that happened to them yesterday? Evaluate your yesterday. Anybody want to share something of yesterday? The ordinary, the extraordinary, the experience of your yesterday. Didn't be holy. It needn't be holy. Just what did you do yesterday?
I came here yesterday to have a cup of tea and a chat with my good friend Roy Smith, and we looked at some old cameras of mine.
Cameras? I was going to say, I thought you were going to say you had a lovely bit of cake. Do they do cake here?
We do sometimes.
Sometimes. Oh, good, because I'm used to Methodist cake. David, you can do my runabout, please. No, I can do it.
I hope this is okay for this morning. Yesterday, I was really down because of certain things in my family. And I went into Sainsbury's, and I got talking to this lady about animals, cats, insects. Anyway, it turned out that she was part Jewish.
Oh.
And she was telling me about her grandfather's history, something to do with Noah's Ark. And she told me the name. And she said, I'm so proud of my granddad. And obviously, we got talking about our Lord and sharing our experiences with whom the Lord led me, with other Jewish people. So I really want to share that. Her name was Victoria.
Remember Victoria in your prayer.
Yes, will do. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
So whether time always runs out when I like sharing about myself and my own experiences, but go through each day as you go through each day, evaluating the day. What's happened in your day? What do you think God was saying to you through your day? Through the simple, through the ordinary, the going shopping or sharing cameras. The God that we believe in is with you in all your experiences. So don't forget that when you get to the end of your day, that you can look back and know that God has been with you and enjoyed those experiences with you. So let's now have our next reading, which is the reading that I'm going to be preaching on, which is Matthew 14, please.
If I forget to do the screen, somebody just wave at me because I'm multitasking. You know what that's like for a bloke. Largely unsuccessful. Okay, this story happens just after John the Baptist has been beheaded. And so the first sentence refers to that. Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Thanks be to God for his word.
And while we're thinking of the familiarity of the 5 loaves of 2 fishes, I've picked a hymn that has been with me all my life, which is "Break Thou the Bread of Life," reminding ourselves that this was the first communion that Jesus did with those thousands of people. He broke the bread and he blessed it. So let's sing this hymn that speaks of this story.
Break now the bread of life, dear Lord, to me.
Please be seated. Sometimes as we look into the New Testament and sometimes as we see these familiar stories, we're going to actually have to say, what a day. What a special day it was for those people. What a special day it was that they encountered God's grace. They encountered full provision. They were full up, so much so that there were 12 baskets left over. There were thousands of people, and God, through Jesus, did the impossible, that miracle. You know the story. I hope you do. I am just trying to just gloss over it a little bit because it's almost like there's more important things to say than they did this, they did that. But what I would like to say was that for Jesus, that day turned out differently, or there were different things in that day that he thought might happen or were going to happen, because he started off that experience of that day in grief. He wanted to be by himself. Are there times in your life when you want to be by yourself and then the phone rings or somebody knocks on the door or whatever, and you go, oh no, I wanted to be on my own. So Jesus wanted to be on his own because his friend had just died. He wanted to get away from people. So did I on my sabbatical. I wanted to get away in that sabbatical at the beginning, the silence where God and I could connect. I was a bit resentful at the beginning because I didn't like the lack of noise and the lack of... I did have a smartphone though, so I was, you know, communicating out. But Jesus wanted, he was a human being at this stage, and he wanted time to have his own needs met. It was the sense of Psalm 23, to restore his own well-being. So he was trying a mini retreat to escape from the normal, to escape from his ministry, as it were rightly, of teaching and healing and speaking and listening and being with people. But, you know when you get the but it didn't work out like that. What he thought might happen didn't work out like that. Many a day, isn't it, in our Christian lives when the day doesn't work out as we had planned it. And then there were crowds. They followed him. I think that's lovely. I love the thought that there were crowds following Jesus. You'd love the thought that there were crowds following Jesus, wouldn't you? Love the fact that people were coming to know the Lord, to know him, to find out about him. Here they were. They were curious. They were, if only people would come through the door or we would go out and they would follow us in order for us to show them Jesus. I took a friend with me to Durham. Don't think she'd been into Durham Cathedral. I don't think she hadn't been to Holy Island. And I must just mention that on that day, which I did really forget in the slides, because it was behind, she bought me a teddy bear. Do you like teddy bears? My husband, bless him, love him, I didn't know what to call him. And he said, well, it better be something about a bad habit. Habits, you know, they wear a habit, bad habit, because I'm not always as good as I could be. So I thought I'd show you that on that one day I had bought a teddy bear. I lost my thread there. Never mind. Jesus was over the other side. The crowd followed him. Knowing about Jesus, my friend, I could talk to her about the spirituality of the fathers, the bead, the saints, and we sat and we talked. And for her, she had never experienced that. So it was a joy to be able to share with her another thread of Christianity. So these people, they came, and this day was getting a bit longer and longer. You know, what happens when you get hungry? You are irritable, aren't you? I've got a few nods here. When we're hungry, aren't we? And there were crowds of them. And I could hear rumbling of stomachs, couldn't you? Because mine does. I must have or need a cup of coffee. And I am exploring this and using my imagination. What are we going to do with all these hungry people? The disciples said to Jesus. Well, what are you going to do, says Jesus. Oh, I love it when Jesus throws a question back to us. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about the people that don't know Jesus? What are we going to do about? Let's not leave it all up to Jesus. He's asking us to be partners with him. Okay, so throw back to the disciples, and they go round and they find these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And by a miracle of God's grace, that is extended to be enough. If you've watched the film The Chosen, I think the disciples are in different groups all round the hillside, distributing that broken bread that has been blessed, and how those two fishes, those two little sardines, extended to all those people, heaven only knows. Well, heaven only knows, because it was a miracle of God's grace. They all needed to experience the fact that God cared for them. The end of their day, they've gone home. Let's go home with them, shall we? Go back to their families, write in their diaries. This happened today. I got fed by Jesus. I got so full up that there were leftovers. I could have as much as I wanted. There was too much. Pardon? I've just written that out of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I had enough to eat. I had too much to eat, and there were leftovers. I wonder if they went into delayed shock by that evening. I wonder if they looked back, as we are invited to sometimes, to look back in our day and go, God's grace was there. I have experienced God. God has revealed something of himself to me in my day, in my ordinary. And sometimes there is the miracle. Sometimes there is the out of the blue. Sometimes there is the unexpected. I wonder if we write it down and then are thankful to God that we've actually experienced a touch of God's grace through that day. Nothing is ordinary with God. He turns those ordinary days into extraordinary. If we look, and what about me with my bluebells? Oh, somebody said, they're only bluebells. Or the train, oh, it was only, oh, now let's just not go, and it was only. Shall we just go, and it's a provision of God? It's God touching you at your, you might not like trains, and you must hate the thought of a camper van. Well, half of me does anyway, but I love my husband enough, so I do it. But let's appreciate the day, the provision that God is there in your day. So although I haven't detailed how the disciples thought afterwards, how that as they lay on their beds later on in that evening, there was that sense of wonder and awe that they had been in the presence of Jesus doing a miracle. So I really like you to just sort of dwell on that familiarity of the feeding of the 5,000, to go through it, to get to the end of the day and look back and go, wow, a miracle. Wow, God's grace. I wonder if at the end of our day we go, wow, what a lot of blessings I've received today. I've had enough to drink, I've had enough to eat, I've had enough clothes, or we've got too many, we've got to get rid of, we've just moved, we've got too many clothes now. The blessings, the ordinary. Let's thank God for the ordinary as well as those unexpected times when we didn't expect or they came out of the blue. So perhaps to summarise is, please don't get annoyed with your interruptions. Jesus could have, but he had compassion on the whoever that came into his radar, into his horizon that day. And look what happened. He influenced in a godly way 5,000 plus who went home talking about the day, the meeting with Jesus. What are we going to go home today talking about? What are we going to go home as coming to worship? Have we met with Jesus through the Bible story? Have we met with Jesus through our friends as we have the cup of coffee with biscuit and maybe cake? What do we go about in our daily conversations? Do we get to talk about the Lord? Do we talk about our faith to others? That's the challenge, isn't it? Because here's Jesus sharing with others, open-handed and open-hearted to others. Can we follow his example? Amen. We'll miss out the next hymn because time has gone, and we'll go into a time of prayer now. Sorry if that messes you. We're going to a time of prayer now, of praise, thanksgiving, and our prayer for the offering. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you that you have a generous heart. Thank you, God, that as we see this miracle of your grace, we see that people were amazed at that extension and that inclusiveness of your love and your grace to the whoever that was there. Father God, we just thank you that you are an inclusive God, that you didn't ask too many questions about who they were and where they come from, what their past was like. You just offered the bread and the fish, bread and wine, to the whoever that was there, and they said thank you. We hope they said thank you. So we pray today, in our generosity to others, that we will see other people being blessed. We thank you as we think of your son, that he was ever open-hearted, he was always swift to forgive and to bless, and that he feeds our souls and helps us unburden our spirits. Thank you for your nurturing nature, enfolding us in your compassion as you had compassion on those people and encouragement every day. And Father, as I read this out of Roots, it was just struck me that it says, we praise you for having all the time in the world for us. What a special sentence. What a special reality that you, as God, have all the time in the world for me, for you, for us. Thank you, Father God. Day by day, in each day, may we grow in love and grace, learning from you and becoming more like you, we pray. And so we now do pray for those people that are struggling today. They are hungry, or they're overfed, or they have eating disorders, or they are not content with what they do have in their larder. Father God, today might not be just about food, but we do realize that we have a plentiful supply of food that we can go and buy. Father God, we do pray for those countries where that bowl of rice is hardly enough of nutrition in each day. We pray today for those who haven't got enough water, enough clean water. And so we could keep praying for those people who need the food bank. And the prayer could just extend into all sorts of areas. We all need food. We all need enough. We thank you that in your economy, there is always enough. And so we thank you. And now as we almost finish the intercessory prayer very minimally today, we just thank you for the offering that we have given freely. We thank you that we want to give. We want people to follow you. We want crowds to come and see you and be directed by you and be guided by your hand. So help us in this church and in the other churches that we belong to be open-handed and open-hearted, to reach out to others in your love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so we come to our closing hymn this morning, which is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Feed me till I want no more is the phrase that I've chosen this hymn for, number 201. So I'm aware of time, so that's why I did that. Sorry about that. As we are standing, can we say the grace together? And then in that grace, we're not saying the words, but we are wishing that every day God really blesses us. Every day there is blessings from God. Shall we close our worship then, saying the grace together? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please be seated. I'm also acutely aware that I had not a list of intercessory prayer from your own church, but I'm sure you know that, and so do continue to pray for the needs and concerns of those members of your own church. Thank you.